The best coaches in the game, huh? We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the slap chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is got. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another Bolt Call season-long fantasy football podcast where we break down everything you need to know about season-long fantasy football rankings, all that good stuff. We are brought to you, as always, by DFS Army, where you get pretty much everything you need for daily fantasy and season-long fantasy all in one place from the says, do you know that last weekend, DFS Army had three separate subscribers, not staffers, subscribers, take down 100K prizes in three different sports in the same day?
I bet you they're happy they signed up for the, for the $30, $40, $50 for their membership.
It's $2 a day to win 100K. That's how it works. Use promo code SAYS. If you sign up, you get 10% off VIP. And today we are talking about the running back and wide receiver group, players that we like above their current ADPs. These are value plays.
We are calling them under the radar running backs.
It's not all going to be under the radar, but a lot of it, it's going to be players that we're going to get on our line because they're players we like above ADP. These wind up being the players we have the most exposure to. Myself and Says, we'll give you our favorites. And this is how you win fantasy leagues. You don't win them by playing ADP. You win them by making bold calls and bold decisions during your draft or knowing the players you want to go after. So this is how we win our fantasy leagues year after year.
You already got a an accolade on your Wu-Tang forever.
Dude, everybody loves the Wu, bro.
Clipboard.
Everybody loves the Wu. Everybody loves the Wu. We know this. Let me tell you something. I'm like the Ebola virus under the reign of King Cyrus. You can see the weakness of a man right through his iris.
That's,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So
if you grew up in the 90s, you know what he's talking about.
I did grow up. I got so much. You want me to start doing the Wu? No. We're gonna talk players that we like above ADP. So right off the bat, I've got the ADP numbers from the NFFC at the moment.
The NFFC are people that actually have money on drafts.
Big money.
I mean, like real money. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, they're not doing, and there's nothing wrong with doing $3 best ball drafts. Like, I love $3 best balls, but they're doing $50 best balls, $100 best balls. They're in $350 entry contests. Like, these are the players that put their money behind their picks. And that's why we give it a lot of credence, their ADP.
There we go. So higher stakes ADP numbers here. And I'm looking at the running back position. And right off the bat, the first guy I want to talk about, because we've been hearing incredible reports out of training camp and coaching, and that this player is now bucking a trend that we have kind of seen of decline on what was once one of the studliest running backs ever, kind of saw a decline. All indications are we may see a comeback. I don't know if it's noise, off-season bullshit, but Zeke Elliott, at the moment, going off his RB7, the seventh running back going off of fantasy boards in the NFFC per his ADP. Now, it says, we both like Zeke better than seven, but you have a very, very strong love for Zeke. So tell me about him, and where do you like him?
Yeah, I like him at two or three. You know,
Two? Or,
well, I mean, no. You know, if you took him at, so you hear us say it all the time that you can't win your fantasy football draft in the first round, but you certainly could lose it. And Zeke is not going to lose your fantasy football draft for you. So again, I know everyone loves McCaffrey at one, and Dalvin Cook seems to be the consensus too. But look, Dalvin Cook, it has been a player prone to injuries. Zeke doesn't even have that. Zeke's like never even on the injury report. He's missed one game in like the last 3 years. He's only 25 years old. He's not like he's 27 and we're worried about like a post-peak Zeke. In those four games where Dak Prescott was there last year, he was like lights out. I think he might have even been the RB1 overall in those four games. You know, he loses two offensive linemen who are coming back already. They've been medically cleared in April. Pro Football Focus put out their preliminary offensive line rankings. Dallas was like six or seven or eight. I mean, they were top 10 offensive line. everything's back to normal. Now, I'm not saying that Zeke is going to be this Christian McCaffrey 30-point game week, but just name me a player in the first round that doesn't scare the crap out of you. You know, I mean, even McCaffrey, who was out all last year, Barkley, no. We all know the problems with Kamara. I just don't think there's a safer player in the first round than Zeke. So any place you want to take him, I'm good with.
First of all, I'm not good with any place you want to take him. If you take Zeke number one or number two,
we're not even
you're
talking.
An asshole.
I disagree with that. I wouldn't do it either, but remember, it was very much recency bias with Dalvin Cook, with the injury luck regress to the positive.
Do you know what the bust rate is on Dalvin Cook over the last two seasons? Two seasons, not one. And a bust rate being a game in which he disappointed relative to his ADP, to his salary, where he had a poor performance. Do you know what the bust rate is?
Dude, he's awesome. He's like an amazing.
I know the rate. I have the number.
I'm just based on how you're saying it, I'm going to say it's very low. So if you want me to guess, I'm going to say, what is it, like one in every like 15 games he doesn't hit his projection or something?
One in 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I was thought I was going high. No doubt. It's
and by
it's
the way, Christian McCaffrey's same. No one else even comes. They're so far and away ahead of everybody else. Those two. Like the next one is like 18%. In other words, the difference between McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook and every other running back is so gigantic. There's no argument for it. You can't. But the top three argument, the third overall argument, that's where I want to go to. Because if we start to get into 2-1, no, Zeke, no, he's got competition that's talented on his team also in Pollard. There's concerns there. But as far as the number three overall, here's what we're hearing. We're hearing he's with a new trainer. We're hearing he's taking things more seriously. There's a possibility of chip on shoulder after kind of looking sluggish. We're hearing from the coaching, he looked sluggish last year. He looks better. Everything we're hearing in the offseason has arrow pointing up. Because going into this offseason, my arrow was down as hell on Zeke. He did not look good to me last year. I get that Dak was gone for most of the year and the scoring kind of stopped. But he didn't look good. You saw Pollard coming in these games when Dallas was behind, which was not what the team had done in the past. So a lot of things pointing up, but I think even three overall is a little aggressive for me personally. But I like Zeke a couple spots above where he's going. You know, fourth, fifth overall, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's, you know, we're splitting hairs at the top. There's warts on all of these players in the first round. I've never seen anything like this before where you could literally point to every player and go, Zeke's the only one where, and Derrick Henry too. I'm not scared of Derrick Henry at all. Like I said, in a half PPR, even in full PPR, if you took Derrick Henry at two, I'd be like, sure. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'd say, sure. Henry, he's never on the injury report. And again, I know he doesn't catch passes, but he gets 90% share. How many players get 90% of the touch share? You know, it's like, it's unbelievable. So I know what you're saying. I think that because of our preconceived notions about Zeke and where he was, shooting him up to two or three seems crazy, but you just don't want to lose your draft in the first round. And Zeke is not going to make you lose.
Yeah, Zeke should be yeoman-like, although, I don't expect to see the 20-plus point games out of him.
Let's look at his high-low. So, Zeke Elliott. Okay, here you go. So, his min-max. His min-max over the last 3 weeks on the NFFC, his max pick was three. Someone picked him at three in one of the drafts.
There it is. So, I mean,
what do you think his max?
To me, that's as high as he can go.
Right. Like, no. Yeah.
There's no argument for beyond.
And I agree with. And I already said that I would take Dalvin Cook also. But I'm just saying is like it's not out there. Yeah. And what's up, Kevin? My boy Kevin. He's up there watching us. There he is. We'll throw him up on the screen.
There we go.
And what do you think his min was? Like, what do you think the latest he was taking over the last 2 weeks was?
With Zeke.
Yeah.
I could see him going as late as ninth.
No, he's like, he went in the third round in one draft.
Oh, wow. Those guys hated Zeke. So, I mean, there you go. One of the things I like about Zeke, though, and let me give you the hidden secret, the gem, the secret sauce, okay? I like, especially in high stakes, I want to be safe, and best ball. I like players that have a really, really clear cut and strong handcuff situation. So for me, that's something that elevates a player like Zeke. We talk some others that have that. But if I can take Zeke and be comfortable that I'm going to make sure I get Pollard a little bit later in the draft, super, super secure handcuff, then I feel like I'm going to be just fine at that running back spot, and I'm protected against injury in case it happens. I love players like that.
I was hosting a podcast for a different outlet, and you know they have some strict standards as far as like language and stuff like that, and not like this one where we could say whatever we want. And you know, handcuff now is a word that they prefer you not to say on a podcast. Like I understand, like you've heard different.
I get it. Let me just tell you something here. On the bold call,
we say what, but I was.
That
I got
will never be restricted. Fuck that.
I know. Okay, I actually got it.
What the fuck we want?
And I understand. But I got a note. I actually got a note after the podcast, and I understand why.
I'm glad
I got
you
it.
Didn't mention what it was because I was on it, and I don't want to do that.
But I got a special note that said, "Please don't use," and it showed the terms I shouldn't use anymore. And one of them was handcuff, which that was the other ones I understood. They don't want you talking about ownership levels. They want to talk about roster percentage. I get it. I mean, again, it's whatever. Everyone's got their own. It's your podcast platform. You can do what you want, and I respect it so much. But then I got one that said no using handcuff. That was the one that shocked me. But again, I get it. I'll use the term backup. I'll use the term player understudy, whatever it is. But it's just it's interesting how things evolve and how they change.
I don't even want to get into this topic.
All right, we won't get into
it. Drive me nuts, man. So let's continue to look at these players.
I knew you'd get a kick out of that, though. That's why I bring it up.
I do get a kick, but in like the world is going downhill sort of a way more than anything else. So let's continue on this topic, right? So I love the cuffable players.
The backupable?
Whatever you are allowed to say.
Yeah, I mean, and in it, you know what? Let's go with there for a second. And in a 17-week season, I mean, this is going to become a common narrative. We've been saying it for a while, but those high-end backups are going to become more valuable. So someone, and we'll go through them, but you brought up Tony Pollard. So in a situation where in the past where Pollard's just like, hey, he's going to eat up a roster spot. You need him if you have Zeke just in case because he's a high-end backup. Now he's actually, you know, Zeke, there are going to be games where they're up by like 17 points in the third quarter, and it's going to be three or four series in a row for Pollard. Whereas he would normally just get like four carries a game, he might get 12. So those high-end backups are going to be more useful in a longer season in our judgment.
And I mean, it's you know, the flip side is it's a negative for Zeke. Zeke is not going to
but everyone's going to have that same issue.
He's not. So. I don't think he's the 80-plus percent touch guy that maybe he was a few years ago. They're just not. They don't need to do it.
But nobody is. Nobody. No. It's all coming down. Like, there's no one other than Derrick Henry that's going to still get 80% of the touches.
Christian McCaffrey will.
I disagree. I think coming off the injury, I think that's why they got Chuba Hubbard, and I think they'll pass a little bit more. I just don't think you're going to see Christian McCaffrey. You're going to see him be used as a workhorse, but it's going to be a little bit 10% lower than you're used to.
There we go. And it's a longer season, so you have to do that. So
what's up, Nick? Our other guy, Nick, is on there. He loves Zeke. He thinks Zeke's a stud. What's up?
All right, so let's continue down because there are some real discrepancies here, and I'm actually a little bit surprised at some of these. I'm going to give you a couple of names. Number one, I mean, there are some guys going way sooner than they should. I know our topic isn't necessarily like guys I hate more than ADP, but my goodness.
Outliers, yeah. ADP outliers. That's all ADP, it is.
If we're going to go ADP outliers, like what? I'm sorry, DeAndre Swift, 13th? Miles Sanders, 14th? RB 14? No.
Yeah, Sanders is dropping, though. I think that if I did right now, what I did was my search was the 15th of June to the July 3rd. And Miles Sanders, he's been falling, which, again, you have to remember the disparity between like RB12 and RB15 is a lot. Like, these guys are not going in the second round. Like, you see here, Miles Sanders is going in the end of the fourth round.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whereas some of the other guys are like locked into the 1-2 turn. So what's happening in these one QB drafts, Geek, is that the second and third round is filled with wide receivers.
It's not so much. I don't care where they're going. I'm looking at it relative to the position group. It doesn't matter what round, but I'll
it kind of does. Just because there's an 18 pick disparity overall between pick RB 13 and 14.
The problem that bothers me is like taking DeAndre Swift above Antonio Gibson.
And that's a real thing that's going on in the draft world. And I already know what your argument is that you don't like the team. But DeAndre Swift, I mean, Gibson, there's been some negative buzz about his toe, not buying it, right? J.D. McKissic caught what he had, like 100 targets last year, not buying it.
Who was the offensive coordinator that made Christian McCaffrey the beast that he is?
I mean, it was 2 years ago, right? It was 2 years ago that the offensive coordinator?
And three. It's the same guy who is the offensive coordinator for the Washington, right now.
This really is the anti-politically correct.
There's no woke here, guys. Sorry.
You got in trouble on TikTok for saying Redskins.
I did. I said Redskins. I did say Redskins.
Which I loved, by the way. I didn't love that you said
Scotty
Redskins.
Newman. What's up, man?
I didn't love what you said. I love that you got you got canceled by TikTok for it.
Yeah, they were canceling me on TikTok. I don't belong on TikTok.
Look at that. Say another one. It's like Swifty, 100 targets coming in from the chat room.
Let me throw some cold water on the Swift 100 targets, but all the minimum receptions. This is hopeful bullshit. It's not real. They have Jamal Williams. I don't understand why people don't get this. First of all, he's on a team that sucks balls. Okay. Lions, worst team in the league this year. They will not score. They're not going to have touchdowns because they suck, right? That's number one. Number two, they brought in the best pass blocking running back in free agency in the NFL. Number three overall, Jamal Williams, right?
Yep. You got it.
He is ranked number three overall. It's going to be a 50-50 split. As a matter of fact, if you want a bargain, Williams is going to be in there on passing downs. He is the blocker. Okay. He's the number three pass protecting back in the NFL. That's what his role was with the Packers, which is why on the Packers, you always watch him. Like, why isn't Aaron Jones in there on every passing? He's such a great pass catcher. It's because they wanted the blocker in there. The team wants a running back on passing plays that can block. Now, because you need him in there when on passing plays, because he can block, now you have to keep him out there when they're going to have him run a route. So he ends up having those sexy pass catching snaps, whereas Swift, I think, is going to wind up getting more carries than people think and fewer targets and receptions than people think, because just the mix between the two guys. There aren't a lot of touchdowns to go around. I just don't get it. I get there's some PPR upside, but like, hell no. Antonio Gibson will also catch 50 or 60 passes this season. He's a freaking wide receiver converted into running back. He knows how to catch a pass, and he's on a team that's good, and he's a touchdown scoring machine.
Yep. I'm with you on that in redraft with Gibson over Swift, but I am higher on Swift than you are. A player that's also going on the 2-3 turn, he's moved up a little bit. That was a little disappointing last year. I just wrote about him not too long ago. I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the way up, and I think by the time we get to drafting season at the end of August, he's going to be like a fringe first rounder, like pick 14. I like your take on Clyde Edwards-Helaire from last year, and I see you nodding, so you have the same optimism. Give me your take on that.
Listen, this comes back to that argument between what's more important, a player's talent or his opportunity.
And team context. Opportunity and team
context. Yeah, opportunity being the team. That's all part of
the
team. Like
the Chiefs
right?
offense or the Lions offense. You know what I'm saying? Like
100%. Like, no, so when it comes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, actually, if you look at the PFW, like if you look at his actual metrics for if he was good, he was not very good. He didn't have the elusiveness. He wasn't breaking tackle. He was not very good in terms of the measurables of a great running back for whatever reason. I personally don't think that matters all that much. I think running backs are running backs. And if you're on a good team that scores a lot of points, it's going to flow to you. So there's no more real competition for touches in the Chiefs backfield at this point. I mean,
right. Well, do you know who the backups are in the
Chiefs?
One
of the Darrells,
Darrell Williams. And it's also, they brought in Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah. I mean, J-Rock McPoinen. Sorry. Your time has passed, my brother.
You know, he's 29 years old already.
Yeah, his time has passed. Listen, it happened. I liked him. I thought he was going to be good. Whatever. But there's not a lot of competition here. This is the Chiefs.
The only problem is that Mahomes, he doesn't check down. Like, when he gets in trouble, he does one of two things. Either he's a competent scrambler, so he'll scramble for 7-8 yards, or but the other thing that he does, when a lot of quarterbacks, like Philip Rivers is the epitome, right? He gets in trouble, he just checks it down to the running back. What Mahomes does, he does the complete opposite. He points down the field and sends Tyreek deep, and instead of that, when he gets in trouble and the play breaks down, he'd rather throw it out of the end zone with a chance to score. So the problem is with him specifically, you're missing out on like 20 easy receptions for the year.
But in fairness, we've seen Darrell Williams have great games under this Chiefs regime. So they are able to produce at the running back. They don't do it consistently, but they're able to produce at the running back position. And he's just on a team that's going to score a lot. So I like him. But my guy, actually, who I like even more, and I'll take him above Hilaire. I'll take him above J.K. Dobbins, who does not belong where he is at RB16. I'm sorry. Miles Sanders doesn't belong at RB14. I'm sorry, guys. DeAndre Swift does not belong at RB. So all of those guys are taken too high.
So you like CEH a little bit better, whose ADP right now is about RB18.
Yeah, he's at 17 right now. I like him kind of where I like him, probably around 15, 14 ahead of that group. I'm taking Hilaire above Swift. Let's put it that way. So for me, the order would be
in a full PPR.
Yes. I'm taking him above Swift. I like Antonio Gibson above that whole group. Put him 13 overall.
And by the way, if you're listening to us, we're adjusting the DFS Army season-long rankings on the fly right now. And if you want to come in and check that out, you just come over to DFS Army. You go into our draft kit. We have all our rankings. They're updated in real time. We were updating them about once every 3 weeks. Now we're going to update them every week or so. We're going to just peruse over them, add some notes, so you can go check them out there.
These are being updated in real time. And by the way, we just did launch an NFL season-long package, which let me explain at DFS Army what that is. Really important. It's not a season-long NFL. It's an NFL season. It's a 12-month NFL pass to DFS Army. You get all of the NFL DFS content, all of the season-long content, all in one subscription. It goes for 12 months. You get access to our Discord with the premium channels and all of the tools. Our tools are unmatched in the industry. Everybody tries to get to be like us. No one gets there. It's why we produce more winners than every other site. They're all using our custom tools. Got $1 million winners. Again, 100K, 3 in 1 day. So if you get signed up at DFS Army, there is a NFL season-long membership that covers DFS and season-long. It's $199. It's a 12-monther. That's the one to do. Use promo code SEZ. It'll not get 10% off. But
I was going to ask you a strategy question here about what you're talking about. So basically, you know, we've been doing Dynasty all off season. You know, we're well into best ball, but you know, it's July 4th weekend. So people are starting to turn the page to their redraft strategy. What are we going to do? All right. In the first round, we're going to take a running back. We're going to pick the one that we like. All right. Cause you and I, we like 12 running backs. We can easily name 14 running backs.
Although I can make an argument for Travis Kelce right at the end of the first round.
Okay, but let's say you're not. Most of us are not going to do that, right? Yeah. But that's a whole different story. So here's where the rubber meets the road, and I think that the DFS Army watchers want to know. When you have these amazing wide receivers in round two, when you have Calvin Ridley, when you have Stephon Diggs, and you have DeAndre Hopkins, and whoever your favorite guy is, and you have these running backs that aren't as good, but we know that the running backs dry up, how are you handling it with your second round pick?
This is a year, unlike last season was really an anomaly where there was a lot of stinky cheese at running back, you know, the Todd Gurley, it was just gross, but there was nothing beyond it. This year, I really love switching it up, going for the wide receiver in round two, get the stud on your team, because there are some great ones, and we're going to talk about some of these names that are still there in round three, and I like them as much or more even. So the question, do I want to grab Dobbins at the end of the second round, for example, or J.K. Dobbins? No, I don't want that. I'd rather wait and get a Miles Gaskin type player, get a David Montgomery, who's massively undervalued this year. So he's my number one, you know, spoiler alert, undervalued player. But I'd rather do that. So you could get that second round wide receiver stud. Sometimes you can even sneak a third round wide receiver stud in there. And then, you know, in the fourth round, you get like a Miles Gaskin type player.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been talking about Miles Gaskin on this podcast since January when he was going in the eighth round. I mean, I do have the proof because I have about six best balls from February to March where we did get him there. And now he's a fourth round pick. And you know what? I don't hate on anybody. The market corrected. We like that. Now, we every year we talk about those stinky cheese running backs, right? Courtesy of our friend Kevin O'Brien, who coined the term. And right, it's I've heard it called the running back dead zone, all this stuff. But some of these guys we're going to need to draft. And we're not talking about Miles Gaskin because we like him. But what are you doing with, like, Mike Davis, the guys who clearly have a role right now, but we just none of us trust them. None of us think that they can't just sign a like a when cuts happen, they're not going to sign another free agent. So who are those players to you, those running backs in that round 3 to 6 that you're scared to death of? But, you know, at some point, if you take a wide receiver round 2, you're going to have to take one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you spit out the easy one in.
Right. He's the obvious one. Miles Gaskin, couple others.
Right.
Like, so, is Leonard Fournette in that?
No, not for me. Ronald Jones. I actually prefer Ronald Jones to Leonard Fournette, as weird as that sounds.
You've taken Jones in quite a few drafts over Fournette, and his ADP is higher, but I have him the other way, but I can't really make a good argument why he's not.
There's a couple guys at this level. I'm not excited about any of them, but, like, if you got Trey Sermon, round 7.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, Raheem Mostert's like, I mean, okay, that's great to say, and yes, he will have useful weeks.
No, are you safe with it? No.
No, but, like, all right, so someone in the chat, who was it? Nick just said, he was asked about Chris Carson, but we have Chris Carson included as, like, the last guy who you can reliably start with comfort. Like, if you're starting him, you're like, okay, I'm good. But after that,
I think it's Miles Gaskin. I think he's the guy that me is like he's the guy holding the line. Like,
Gaskin holding on to the cliff. Like, Chris Carson is firmly there. He scores touchdowns. He catches passes.
Yeah, Gaskin is like, he's holding it. He's like, all right, I got my RB2. It's Miles Gaskin. I'm fine with it. You know, everything's fine. You ever see that meme of the dog and there's a fire just burning, raging behind him, and he's sitting there typing on a computer? Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. But, like, the whole background is, like, on fire behind him. That's what it is with Miles Gaskin. You want that because when he comes off the board now, again, now you're Raheem Mostert. You want to take Raheem Mostert? Guy's always hurt. No.
The rookies. How about the rookies without clear 1A jobs like Etienne and Javonte Williams? What kind of faith do you have in the first 4 weeks of the season? Because it's nice to say, oh yeah, in Dynasty, I love them. But I'm talking about when you have those rookies that clearly may not have the majority of their touches in the first 4 weeks of the season. Last year, people dropped Cam Akers because he was not only not worth starting, he wasn't worth a roster spot until the last month of the season.
Well, that happens with these rookies, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So go through each one. Start with Travis Etienne. Do you see him being even useful for fantasy in the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yes, I actually think I think Etienne's fantasy curve will look a lot like DeAndre Swift did last year. Not doing a whole lot the early weeks.
Sucked in the first month of the season.
Yeah, I would expect that. But he got snaps. He just sucked if you were expecting much, but, like, you know, you're getting 10, 12 snaps a game, 5 or 6 receptions.
All right. Well, here's the point. Okay. Cause in the fifth round, if you want an elite quarterback, that's where you take them. If you skipped out on running back in the first couple rounds, you're going to need to take Travis Etienne. And when he gets 4 fantasy points in week 1 and Dak Prescott, who you passed on, has 38, you're going to be choking on your own vomit.
Well, the lesson here is don't get into that situation. So let's avoid that. What I strongly suggest is people talk about zero RB. Don't do that. That is just something that morons talk about. And if you wait on RB too long, you're going to lose and your team is going to suck. Right.
Well, don't do that. You know, I'll let you finish. I think I have a different feeling on zero RB. I think it can be done. I mean, listen, somebody won the NFFC, high stakes contest with it. And
last year, the injuries, if you base it on last year, fine.
No, it wasn't on last year. It was a few years ago when Sean Siegel did it. And basically this is how, first of all, you need to be one of only 2 teams or 1 team doing it. So when everyone is doing one thing in the market, similar, you're a DFS pro. I mean, one's won more DFS stuff than DFS Army. And it's when everyone's going one way, going the other way, it's not like you're likely to win, but if everything breaks, you're going to be set up well. All right. So if everyone's scooping up these running backs and you're able to get Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Brown in the third.
Can I point out an important contrast to this, though? Because you mentioned somebody won the NFFC doing this. And you're right. But the important contrast is we're not trying to win the NFFC. We're trying to win our 12-person league against our knucklehead friends. So that's the big contrast. That's a great tournament strategy. And this is where people get confused. You can do this in best ball also. It's a great tournament strategy. You're trying to win the $1 million prize on Underdog Fantasy, for example, for the Best Ball Mania. Really, really tough contest. You want to do something unique and different. And the way you can achieve it, listen, if you do zero RB and you fall on James Robinson and you accidentally draft, you know, Mike Davis, who last year went bananas, that's how you win the league, right? But you're not going to do that against your buddies in a 12-man league. This is such a difference. You have to differentiate between a tournament approach, which is high risk, high reward. And that's what I see as zero RB, super, super high risk.
All right. So you like Travis Etienne as someone that can hold a lot. Like, I just looked, DeAndre Swift, he was getting you double digit fantasy points, 10, 11 points. He wasn't paying the bills, but then, you know, in the middle of the season where he suffered some injuries, how about Javonte Williams? How do you see that playing out with Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, I think Javonte Williams is going to be in a 50-50 split right off the bat. I don't love the team, so I don't love their ability to score a lot of points. I don't love, quote, their running back, period, at all. But yeah, I think Javonte Williams will be a useful piece this year. I think if you're in a dynasty league, you want to be trading for Javonte midseason. You want to trade for these type of guys, yeah, like the Cam Akers types from last year. You want to trade for that a few weeks into the season because he's going to be disappointing. You're going to see Javonte Williams not as the full starter for the Broncos. He's going to be splitting time with Melvin Gordon, and it's not going to be sexy. So again, this is just one of those spots. An injury can happen and it would change everything, but right off the bat, no, I'm not interested. If you're going into your league with Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, Scott actually asked about Kareem Hunt as well. This is a group where I would not feel good about going into my league with them as my RB2 at all. Now, they might emerge later on, but by that point, you're so out of it that you're already dead. So what I suggest is there are such values. Let me talk about David Montgomery, because you and I talk about this guy a lot, and we disagree a little bit on him.
By the way, I agree with the market. It's not that I disagree. That
you disagree with me.
If it was up to you, you'd have him as like your RB10.
I'm at about 12, RB12 with David Montgomery, and here's my feeling on it. I get it. I get that a lot of people think that his success last season came from the fact that Tarik Cohen was out for the team.
Air conditioner back on. It's too hot in Florida. Keep going.
Why are you turning off your air conditioning? Fucking crazy. So a lot of people talked about David Montgomery last year and said, oh, he's only doing what he's doing because Tarik Cohen is out, so they have to keep him out there on every down. But the reality was a lot of what he did was via the run. So his incredible run towards the end of last year, while I don't think he'll replicate that, I don't think we can expect these. He was like the RB3 over the last 6 or 7 games of the season last year. Like, what was he, RB3, RB4 in total? So do I think he's going to replicate? This is the problem. Everybody wants to be a smartass. And this is why Montgomery is lower than he should be, because everybody's a fucking smartass, right? So like, well, he's not going to be the RB2 overall over the last weeks. Tarik Cohen's there. I didn't say he has to be RB2. All I know is this is a starting running back for a team that's going to win more games than they won last year, that focuses on defense and wants to run the football. So he has all the opportunity in the world to have a quality season. He's the starter. He's going to get all the touches. Why the fuck? Like, you want to tell me that Josh Jacobs, who comes out of the game on passing downs and when the team falls behind at all, should be ahead of him? You want to tell me that J.K. Dobbins, who only gets 15 touches per game and never a reception, only rushing touches, and is competing with another running back and a quarterback who all want to take touchdowns from him? Miles Sanders, how many good games does he have in his career? 4? Like DeAndre Swift, only PPR points, very little touchdown upside. These guys should be behind David Montgomery, in my opinion. So
how about this one? I'll give you a good either or. David Montgomery or Najee Harris.
So here we go. I was just going to talk about Najee Harris as the other guy. I love Najee Harris this year, and I probably take him over David Montgomery. Okay. So he's my other guy. You just literally nailed it. Let me talk about Najee Harris. Give me this. I want to talk about him. Okay. Pittsburgh Steelers, what are they known for, says?
Workhorse running backs, and it's the same coach.
Not just workhorse running backs, producing massive fantasy points to the running back position. You know how you talked about how Pat Mahomes, you know, play breaks down? He's looking downfield, telling, let me just toss it up to Reek, right? What does Roethlisberger do the second he's feeling any uncomfort? He's like, where's my running back? Boom, check down, right? You get the Steelers in hurry-up mode. Anaji Harris, if he's out there for them, and by all counts he should be, he will get 7 or 8 receptions in one drive. So this is a team that produces to the running back position. They love it. And by the way, Najee Harris,
I think you just hit on an important point here, a very important point, because I think we said about Harris, he's going to get a lot of dump downs, a lot of dump offs. And last year, Pittsburgh, they didn't have a running back to do that. So what they did was they threw a lot of short passes to like Deontay Johnson. So I think those two things have to be in conflict with each other. If you believe that Najee Harris is going to be a 55 catch running back, you need to pull back on Deontay Johnson as a fifth round wide receiver. I think that Deontay Johnson is not going to make value unless you take him in like the 8th or 9th round. If you are in on Najee Harris,
no, because
as a pass, yeah, I think those two things are in conflict with each other.
I think it's the Juju Smith-Schuster targets that go.
Well,
to the
Deontay
back.
Johnson presumably is going to play in the slot. So whoever that slot receiver is,
yeah, it's usually. I mean, it could be Schuster in the slot. He's been in the slot more than Deontay.
Yeah, it's the low. I mean, Deontay had the low A dot, so I'm just presuming it. Well, either way, but the difference is Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't get taken until 2 rounds after that.
And I would say the difference is there's a lot of targets to go around in this Pittsburgh. They throw the football a ton and they play very fast.
Yeah, but now, 70 of them are now going to Najee Harris. That is going to be at the expense of the low A dot receivers.
That's a good analysis, and there's a good chance that you're right. Like, they didn't have a running back to throw to last year.
They didn't throw the running backs.
They didn't have it. But you know they want to and they like to. So, you know, for all that, you know, why did they throw to Connor? He was always hurt. I don't know.
He was hurt. They had Benny Slug in there. I mean, it was again. I agree with you that. That Harris is probably going to get 75 targets and he's probably going to catch 55 passes or 60 passes, but that has to, it just doesn't make sense that if you believe that, not you, you, the listener, then you have to knock Deontay Johnson, who's the first wide receiver going off the board of the Pittsburgh trio. You have to knock him down. It doesn't really affect Chase Claypool, because when you draft Chase Claypool, you're expecting those big boom weeks.
Now, let me ask you this though. Can I count in the fact that I love Najee Harris's story? The homeless, the, you know, the shelters, the family, the background. Like, is there any more likable human being? When you hear his story, like, you just root for this man. So I take that into account a little bit. I know it's messed up, but I take that into account. I'm like, seems like a very special human being. So for that reason, I it makes me like Harris a little bit more. But I mean, I like this guy. Again, this is a comparable. We're making comparisons. I like these guys over Miles Sanders, over DeAndre Swift, over J.K. Dobbins, over Helaire. So that's really for me. And I would have this whole group ahead of that group. That's really what I'm saying. I like them better than their ADP. And these are guys you can get in the 3rd and 4th round. So to me, if you're starting your draft off,
Najee's a top 15, top 17 pick now.
I mean, you could say it all. I'm working off of the ADP that we're looking at here, and this has him at RB 18.
Right. Overall. He's going in round 2. He's not right. That's what I'm saying. He's going in. Yeah.
I'm just going by the ADP that we got here. So
but do you agree that Harris, similar to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is going to be a fringe first rounder in August?
That I don't know. If we think,
I mean,
that,
the minute the first, oh my God, Najee Harris made an amazing reception and took it to the house Twitter post. You don't think that
could
he's
be.
Going?
Could, yeah. Could be. I mean, we could see the hype machine. It's hard to know. We're in July already. So it's hard. I don't know. But what I know, I can only work on what I see today now. Yep. Like we're looking at ADPs. And for me, I mean, to say I agree, of course I agree. I think they're going by ADP after they should go. So these are the value plays, right? So Najee Harris, a big one. Scott asked about Scott Newman, who is a big, first of all, he's a fucking goat of MLB DFS. He's part of DFS Army.
Scott? I don't see his comment. I would have put it up.
Scott
on the
Newman
board.
Asked a little bit a while ago. He asked about Kareem Hunt.
Oh, here we go. Here it is.
Now, Scott has, by the way, in the last 2 weeks, has taken down like 8 MLB tournaments, $10,000 bills being handed out to Scott like every day. He goes into a strip club. The girls literally surround him and he's got dollar bills flying. Like, he's got that machine. You ever see that machine? That little, and he's, you know, and the girls are all doing the dances and shit.
The make it rain machine.
They know him in the Cleveland strip club scene. Oh, fucking Scotty's in. Like, dollars are flying.
The Cleveland strip club scene?
Yeah, it's, you know.
Sounds awesome.
It's not the best strip club scene, in fairness.
You know what? We went to school up in Albany. I mean, it's probably similar to the Albany strip club scene.
You know.
Not all teeth in the, you know, not all 32 teeth there.
There's always a couple pregos in the mix.
Nothing wrong with that. Everyone has a right to earn a living.
Into it. You know, average age, usually above 40.
My type.
Yes. So anyway, dollar bills. So he asked about Kareem Hunt. And here's my take on Kareem Hunt.
It's a good question.
he's a tough one. He's like one of the toughest situations because Kareem Hunt, he's an RB2. Like, how do you really want the second running back from your team as your starter? I think he's fine. I think he's yeoman.
Not an RB2, by the way. Not an RB2 by ADP. Just so you know. So by ADP,
he's going 24th overall. So he's kind of RB3.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. So 24 is generous because there was a couple his average, like if I open up the spread of the dates a little bit, like Javonte Williams is starting to go above him, Gaskin's going above him. So he's like he's 25 and a half is a more accurate ADP for him.
I like him as your flex play, and that's what it is. I like him as your flex. He's going to have a couple good games. But like, and he'll have that game where he sneaks two touchdowns in, but he's never getting more than 12 or 13 touches in a game. So he's very much like, I think he's overvalued even at RB25. I'd much, much, much rather have some of the names that you just mentioned, especially Myles Gaskin. Why is Myles Gaskin after these guys? It doesn't make any sense to me. He's the starter. He's the starter first team. They liked him. They didn't go out and get anybody else. You back him up with Salvin Ahmed and you're good to go. So, you know, Kareem Hunt, not a guy who I'll wind up with on any of my teams. I like him.
Just
less.
Not at the cost. I like Kareem Hunt, just not in the fifth round. In the fifth and sixth round, like for this year, I am in on I want one of the mobile dynamic quarterbacks, okay? Or I want Tom Brady. So in the fifth and sixth round is where I'm targeting my quarterback this year. So I am not in the fifth round running back market, and that's where Kareem Hunt goes.
To not need Kareem Hunt, you would have need to have taken two running backs in the first four rounds. So do that. This is what I'm saying. Don't be in these situations. Just do that. Get two running backs in the first four rounds.
You're making the argument for getting a running back in the first two rounds because in round three, you're going to love the receivers. You may not like the running backs.
Sometimes you don't like the round two running back. I have an issue. There are times when you don't like the round two running back. So,
Because you could still get Gibson. You could still get Swift. You could still get Mixon. If you want to jump ADP, you can get Montgomery. If you want him in the second round, he's yours.
I mean,
because he goes in the end of the third. You can get Miles Sanders. I'm just saying it's okay to not get value at every pick. Everyone's like, you need to get value at every pick. It's okay not to get value at every pick to get your running backs with secure jobs secured. And then fall into the wide receiver, tight end market after that. And obviously QB, we already talked about, is a round six play for me.
I'll give you a league that I'm in, a best ball league, and an uncomfortable situation that I ran into. So I was picking on the turn, 12-13, which you know I hate. I do not like being on the end caps at all. And the reason it doesn't work for me and my personal style is because, as Jesus Clipboard just said, I'm a value-based drafter above and beyond all things. And you rarely can get value when you have to pick twice in a row. You have to reach on the second pick. It almost always happens. And actually, I ran into that situation. I refused. So I end up in round one, the 12-13, I smash Travis Kelce and Cam Akers. And the reason I took Cam Akers over my choice was between Akers. Mixon was there, but it was Antonio Gibson who was the other consideration. The reason I went with Akers was because I like his handcuff situation very much. So I felt like if I take Akers, and again, we talk about premium handcuffs. I love Darrell Henderson later in this draft. I love it. Those must go together, 100%. Have to. But when you have them both, you lock down a pretty good running back slot overall. But what happened in the second round is Montgomery, all those guys were gone by the time I pick again, you know, at the what is it? I did.
You talk about, so the 1-2 you talked
yeah,
about?
Yeah, in round.
So
the
then
three,
what you're
four,
doing. Yeah.
When
so
I was in round
doing,
three, the
it's
three,
36
turn,
and 37.
Yes. In the 3-4 turn, Montgomery was gone. All of the guys that I really, even Jacobs was gone. All of the running
Jacobs
backs.
Jacobs is gone. Usually he's going in round, because in best ball, but he goes into like round 5 now.
This was best ball. Actually, Jacobs might have been on the list. He
yeah,
might have been there. But
he
like,
sticks around now. And by the way, we could talk about that in a minute. It makes no sense to me.
No, it's a little late for him. He has value at that point. But like all the guys I really like there, and who the wide receivers though, like DK Metcalf, you know, names that you love, Terry McLaurin, top 10 wide receivers are still hanging out. So in that turn, and so I'm now in a best ball league where 4 picks are gone and I only have 1 running back so far, but it's because the league dictated the value. Normally I don't like it and I'm going to see how it goes. I'm uncomfortable with it, you know, so I'm going to see how this one turns out. And then we'll figure it out. But, you know, I'm hoping that the savior, Myles Gaskin, will be there, you know, 24 picks later when I get my next pick.
He will not be. He will not be.
Probably not. But, you know, I got my
favorite. Because the QBs get pushed down a little bit, too, because people know they don't need – in best ball, you don't need one of the dynamic quarterbacks.
Oh, no.
Because if you have Tom Brady and you have Derek Carr, you're going to get that 25-point week from one of them, or, you know, sub in your 2 non-mobile quarterbacks that you like, Kirk Cousins and Brady or whatever.
That's the ultimate best ball strategy. Yeah, you know, if you took a QB anywhere before the first 6 or 7 rounds, you're not winning that league. Like, you just
right.
don't.
I mean, look, if Mahomes falls to round 5, you're going to take him, right? I mean, it never happens, but you would take him. So
I don't know if I'd take Mahomes even around 5, because if he fell there, I'd know Josh Allen's still there. There's just right. too many good players at running at quarterback in a best ball. I just need 2 of them. They'll make up for any. Mahomes is a great player, but he's not a prolific scorer in the sense.
Right. Like, he's not going to finish as QB1. He's like, I would take that. If you wanted to make me a bet, who's going to finish as the QB1? So if you had took Mahomes and I took everybody else, I got the field. I'm taking the field. That's an obvious bet.
Yeah. You would take the field. He's great.
He just has such a high floor. He will not fail.
He doesn't fail. He doesn't have terrible games, but like, he'll put up a 20. He'll put up a 25. He's not putting up 30 plus every week. Hell no. So like,
but he's not putting it lower than 25 either.
No, you know, that's the beauty. But you know what? If I have 2 quarterbacks, they equal the consistency of Mahomes.
And you don't have to call your shot like in best ball, you know?
Yeah. So that's best ball strategy and understanding it. But, you know, worst case, Ron Jones Jr. or the double tap of Ron Jones Jr. and Fournette, because those two combined last year to make for 1 pretty good running back. So like, the games would shift between the focus, and it was really weird and unpredictable. Hate it if you have to make those decisions, but if you have them both in a best ball, I think that's an acceptable kind of 1-2 tap that creates 1 quality running back position. So any other players at the running back position that you find where you're winding up drafting them all the time because they're going there, the value on ADP is not as good as where you have them?
Yeah. So you're saying, like, who do I like better than the field?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always taking the running back. I mean, we just talked about Josh Jacobs. He's somebody I'm getting a lot. And this is why. It's like, last year when Kenyon Drake went to the Cardinals, everyone, self included, was taking him as a first round pick or like a early second round pick. And now what is he bad all of a sudden because he's on the Raiders? So he's going in like the 9th round. Josh Jacobs is going in like in the late 4th round. Aren't one of them going to be good? Either why is Kenyon Drake, who wasn't good, scaring people off Josh Jacobs? Josh Jacobs finishes the RB10 last year. You know, if you just cannot resist we just told you a minute ago to take running backs in round 1 and 2. Now, if you cannot resist Justin Jefferson, or you cannot resist Stephon Diggs in round 2, you just can't do it. You're not going to take Joe Mixon over him. You just can't do it. That is the guy that I am falling back on. Josh Jacobs, in every draft where I miss out on round 1 and round 2 running backs, I'm taking him on the 3-4 turn. And sometimes I've seen him fall as far as like pick 47 at the end of the 4th round. Where are you at on Jacobs? What are your expectations? Does Kenyon Drake scare you off at all?
No, I don't think Kenyon Drake is too scary. Listen, I got other problems with the Raiders just not being very good, having a terrible offensive line. And there are other reasons why I'm concerned about Jacobs. The biggest problem for me with Jacobs is he's a yardage and touchdowns back on a losing team. Like, it is not, it's the worst possible combination.
Yeah, but so, the Raiders are always competitive. They're like, when they do lose games, but they'll get into like a 37-32 shootout with the Chiefs.
You know, I have a separate thought here. And again, this is way more opinionated than maybe I like for analysis. But my thought is, I actually think Gruden sucks as a coach. And I know it's crazy to Super Bowl winner John Gruden sucks as a coach. It reminds me a little bit of just like when Ditka came back and coached teams, and like he was already a celebrity kind of like announcer guy. And then, like, you know, his teams were terrible. He had that great Bears team. It's like, how does that jive? But I kind of think Gruden sucks as a coach, and I kind of think that team will get worse every year because of poor sort of just front office coaching. Their owner is really weird. The whole franchise of the Raiders is just...
Well, I mean, look, this year they're going to have the home Vegas crowd. You know, they put a nightclub in the Vegas stadium. They're like, there's an actual nightclub
that's
inside.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the first, they're going to have fans this year. Stripper? I think that's, it's going to be a, yeah, I mean, I don't know
Stripper's
what's
going to
be. But this is going to be like Scotty a very Newman interesting club, home like field.
Scotty Newman at the club, fucking dollar bills everywhere.
Oh man, Scotty Newman's just taking it on the chin this you know, this podcast. But yeah, I mean, it's just going to be an unbelievable home field advantage for them. It may not be all, it might be a lot of like tourists, but when you're there, you're going to get into the spirit of rooting for the Vegas Raiders. I think the Vegas Raiders are going to be a real, not so fast. Now Gruden, again, they're locked in with him for like the next 6 or 7 years. You know, I mean, he signed a 10-year contract. I think this is year four.
It was like you said, it's a little opiniony that I almost don't want to use in fantasy football analysis. It's more like, it's more like personal opiniony stuff, but like they need to win games. But yeah, no, I think the market has overreacted. I agree with you, Cez.
So, okay. So we've hit a stopping point here on the running backs. We're going to be back next week. We'll do another position group, but before we go, I've been wanting to tell you this for a while. I've been wanting to tell you this offline, but I heard something and I'm trying to think who said this because I want to give them credit. This is not an original idea. I did hear this on another podcast and it was a DFS strategy. And since, you know, we're promoting DFS Army, we'll do that in a second. Chicago Bears playing the first showdown. And I want to get your opinion on this. That's okay. Why I'm asking him. Chicago Bears playing the first showdown. Somebody had said, damn, I just feel so bad that I don't remember who said it. That the Bears have committed to Andy Dalton to be the week one starter. And if that is the case, putting Justin Fields in your captain space. So if he does get to Deshaun Watson, hey, three series and let's put the kid in, and then all of a sudden you get a full game of stats and nobody has started him. Is that a viable strategy for the first showdown?
Okay, so let me take it back a notch.
You get what I'm saying, right?
Yes, but okay. The reason that was mentioned was very specifically because last year during a Raiders Monday Night Football game, Derek Carr went out, got hurt. Marcus Mariota came into the game, okay? Wound up being 0.02% owned in captain and wound up winning the tournament. And a big prize could have been $500,000 to the person who did it. And everybody, first of all of the trolls on Facebook, of course, came out. All the social media troll types, oh, fake, you know, like, oh, DraftKings. You know, they come up with the stupid things that social media trolls say.
That's ridiculous.
Like, let's say you lost at DFS a couple times. You've now convinced yourself it's fake, even though the smartest mathematical minds in the world play DFS. Like, those genius mathematicians are playing in a rigged game.
All right, okay. Just get back to this thing though, because I really want to hear. I want
to
hear this.
To get to the point of what happened, the guy puts Marcus Mariota in the captain spot. He wasn't starting. So then he's been interviewed since, and he came out and said, "Oh yeah, no. Every time there's a showdown, every time." As long as the quarterback who's a backup is like at least somewhat viable or can run, I make a few lineups with them. So do I think it's a viable? No. But has that won $500,000 for someone? You're only saying they pull him. What if Andy Dalton gets hurt on the second play because he's old and he's fucking red-haired? And, you know, red hair,
but
old guys.
What I'm saying is predicting injury is impossible. It's like you said, it's burning. But like,
no, it's not impossible. This is what this is. Let me this is DFS now. It's not impossible. We know for a fact, 100%, that injuries will happen. Do I know that an injury will happen this week in this game? No, but we do predict with accuracy that injuries do happen, and we can actually get percentage of the time that a quarterback gets injured in game. And if it's 2% of the time or 3% of the time, and you're trying to win a contest with 0.00001% odds of winning, then that 2 or 3% of the time is actually plus EV scenario for you to win this tournament.
So get back to my original question then. You know, nobody believes Andy Dalton's the real starter. If he actually takes the first snap week one, do you think a Justin Fields in the captain spot in the showdown, is that do you like that as a lottery ticket play?
It's definitely viable as a lottery ticket play, although I will tell you, I like Trey Lance, if he doesn't start, as that lottery ticket more.
Well, the problem is that Jimmy Garoppolo is actually decent. Like, he brought them to a Super Bowl last year, whereas we all know Andy Dalton at this point is like the 38th best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, but they're not going to pull him, you know, without injury. You don't pull him in the first half of the game. So worst case scenario, he's playing terrible. He plays out the first half. You know, maybe
Sean Watson only sat down for two series before they ripped Savage out of there.
That was Savage. I mean, he was extra bad. He was way worse than Dalton is an NFL quarterback, but
he's a backup. He's a backup.
Yeah, he's a backup now, but he's played starter and you know, he's the same in human being. He just looked terrible playing quarterback at all last year. Like, the thing with Dalton is you're not playing Dalton in that game because he sucks and he doesn't put up good numbers.
That's the point. Of course, nobody's playing Dalton. But yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, of course. I think it's actually more the appropriate answer is it's always viable because the odds, one of the things we talk about, I do the showdown breakdowns for DFS Army, me, Bobby Wow, Josh, DFS Up North, really, really awesome team. And every single showdown break, and we talk about this. What is the propensity for the starting running back to get injured in game? And we have stats on it. It's like 14 to 16% of the time, the starting running back just gets hurt at some point during the game. So when we talk about like, how much should we expose ourselves to the number two running back? Well, you know, can I predict when the starting runner? No, but you just do it as a formula. You always get exposure to the backup running back because wide receiver, same thing with wide receivers. When do I put the wide receiver forward? Do I expect Byron Pringle to have a great fucking game? No. But if Tyreek Hill gets injured and Pringle comes in, so what are the chances of Hill getting injured? Well, it's more than the chance of these injuries in game happening are higher than our brain allows us to process. It's 10, it's 15, it's 18% of the time. It's much higher than what our brain. So what happens for the average player is they do that a couple times. It doesn't work out. Zeke plays the whole game through, doesn't get injured. And they say, this was stupid. I never should have played the back. I'm fucking throwing away lineups. The Marcus Mariota guy, to go back to that example, had been doing that for multiple years with no reward. I'm talking about going back like multiple seasons, and he kept
scratching. He's scratching off lottery tickets for years and years and years, at a gas station with like a crusty quarter, and finally he hits one.
This is what I'm saying. If you don't have the patience to stick with that for an entire football season, then don't do it ever, not even once. But if you have the patience and you have the mindset to say, as a formula, every single time there's a showdown and there's a viable backup, I'm going to play a couple lineups with him at the captain. I don't care. I'm always going to play 15% of my lineups with the backup running back, with a backup wide receiver. If you're doing that as a formulaic approach and you do it every single time, over time, you will beat the odds and make money because you will be doing that at a higher rate than the field, and the field does it at a lower rate than the actual potential of that situation to occur. If that makes sense. I don't know. Yep. I fucking lost my own train of thought.
No, that was good. That was good. All right. Okay. So I'm going to do the wrap up here to make sure it's quick because I want to keep these podcasts under an hour just so people, they see an under hour podcast, they like it. All right. Just remember, we're going to be here all season long, right? DFS Army has its football only package now. So if you're a DFS player that just wants to do football, You can only have the football content. You don't need to have the basketball, although we do recommend trying all sports.
No, do VIP, but you don't have to.
You don't have to. There is a light membership for you. So just go to dfsarmy.com, pick your membership, use code SAYS, you'll get 10% off. Okay. All right. So we're going to come back next week. We're going to talk about a different position group. Subscribe to the DFS Army YouTube page. Just click that little subscription button and then click the bell. The bell will let you know when we put up new videos. And then also, if you prefer to get your podcast through audio podcast, just go to the DFS Army podcast feed, click subscribe. You'll get it. And if you don't want our podcast, you don't have to do it. We're not begging for likes. We're not begging for subscriptions.
I'm begging. Subscribe and like, please.
All I'm telling you is that if you want this stuff, and this is the stuff that we don't put behind the paywall, go ahead and do it, and you'll get it anytime you want. It's here. We're going to be here all season long for you. We answer questions in the live chat. We answer questions on Twitter. And, of course, when you come into the VIP in our Discord chat, you get all of that. You get personal attention, coaching through DFS. I am not a good DFS player. I use the coaches like Geek and all of his other staff, and they answer my questions. Not with who to play, but how to get to, just like he explained to you a minute ago, how to get to that process. See, for me, like this conversation that we just had about the Justin Fields thing, Geek or one of his coaches would actually take time and explain what he just explained. That's kind of why I demonstrated this. I wanted everyone that's watching this to get a feel for how it works inside of our Discord. So this is what you just witnessed is how it goes down, and you would get that personal attention. Yeah, all right. Anything to add before I click off?
Nope. That's going to be it. We'll be back, guys. We're going to talk wide receiver next time. Also, sleepers, ADP discrepancies, all that kind of stuff. So,
and one of the shows that we have planned also is how to draft in Superflex for redraft leagues. We're going to do a show on Superflex strategy, when to take your quarterbacks, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Not for dynasty, for redraft.
And I may be back midweek here, time permitting. I've been doing a lot of best ball drafting myself. I like to do them live stream, especially the fast drafts, so I can concentrate on one draft for 40 minutes, which is about what it takes. So look for that potentially to pop up midweek. I'll just, you know, whenever I can find that time, I'm just going to pop on. When I want to do a live draft, I will share that link and you can draft against me live on screen and we'll talk about it. We'll stream it like a Twitch game streamer, except we're talking best ball leagues, not games. Or
all right, everybody. Till next time. Goodbye.
Got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no